You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns Nation, so glad you are engaged, involved, and up with us. You know, Mike Pettine says, guys got to be up and be ready to go to get the reps. You're always up with us. Much appreciated. Michael Reguy, Matt Wilhelm here, and let's get right to the gentleman who, like most of you, he was there witnessing it, sat right below me in LP Field the other day. You know him, and you enjoy reading him, and he keeps you up to speed on everything Cleveland Browns. We say hi to Scott Petrak of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Scotty, glad you got back from Nashville well. Very impressive, was it not, to see the large volume of Browns fans there? I got there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm walking the outer circle of LP Field. I got stopped and probably had conversations with about five different groups of Browns fans. That's 4 hours before kickoff, 12 o'clock Central. They're ready to go. It was one of the most impressive road followings I think the Browns have had in quite some time.
No, you're right about that. And I noticed, you know, on the plane you saw a bunch of fans, but that's not that unusual. But then I was at one of the, you know, honky-tonks on Broadway Saturday night, and the singer said, how many Browns fans? And the place went nuts. And then he said, how many Titans fans? And there wasn't anything said. So you knew there would be some fans there. But when Kruger and the defense started waving up to get the crowd going on third down in the other stadium, that's something I haven't seen.
You know what? I want to talk to you, Scott, about, you know, how this football team bottles up the camaraderie, the situation that they were in at the end of the game, what they were up against, and overcoming all that and turn that into a great foot moving forward against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, you know, obviously they need to. I mean, that's the only way they're going to take this season and get off and running. But, I mean, you know, Mike Pettine's talked about it and guys in the locker room. I do think there's been good chemistry on this team from the jump, and I don't know if that's because of – I assume it's because of guys like Brian Hoyer and Joe Thomas, and on the defensive side of the ball, Dansby and Joe Hayden and Dante Whitner. There's just a good vibe in that locker room. Now, it's always helped when you win a game. You know, you win a couple and you don't get down on yourselves. But when I was talking to Andrew Hawkins right after the game, he talked about Brian Hoyer and the confidence that he plays with just trickles down to everybody else on that offense. And Jordan Cameron, I was shocked when he said it, but he said it like he believed it, that he always thought they were going to win that game. And I'm not sure you could have said that about any of the other Browns teams in the last 15 years, down 25 on the road. I don't care who it is, too, that you're going to come back and win that game.
No question about it. So now, as Scott Petrak joins us from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, Scotty, big picture here, painting with that big, large brush. Do you feel that this football team has enough wherewithal and character? You got to sustain this now. This is where good football teams go forward. Use that as a real jumping-off point. Where's the Petrak belief that this football team understands that and can get on a roll?
Well, I'll tell you what. I wrote it for the paper today, my Tuesday analysis. Before the season, I picked them to go 6-10. And I wasn't even that confident that they'd get to six wins just because how poorly the preseason looked, new coaching staff, all the things that everybody thought about. Vegas sets a line at whatever it was, 5.5, 6.5. After 4 weeks in watching Brian Hoyer, and I fully believe in what Brian Hoyer can do now. Not that I wasn't ahead of before the season, but I needed to see more of it. I'd only seen the 2+ starts. I think 6 is way too low, and I think it's completely legitimate that this team gets to 8 or 9 wins. And if you ask me right now, I would say 9-7 is what I would predict for this season after 4 games. And it's because I know the defense isn't where it needs to be, but I still have confidence in the coaching staff that they'll get what they need to from this defense. And I'm completely convinced that the offense is going to continue to score points.
Are you listening, football gods? Not the Browns Nation. Are you listening, football gods, to Scott Petrak? Talking about 9 football wins, Wilhelm. Ooh, now that's going to have you where you want to be in late December.
That's competing, folks. Yeah. That's something that Cleveland has not done consistently, and in the first year with Coach Mike Patton, just goes to show what he's done in a very short time.
Now, you don't know about injuries. You know, if they get a bunch of injuries and, you know, then you never know what's going to happen. If Brian Hoyer gets hurt, then I reserve the right to change that opinion again. But sitting here right now, I feel that this team is going to compete in every game and that they're going to be relevant into November and December. And frankly, that's more than we've been able to say for a lot of years.
That being said, Scott, to look at the task ahead of us, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the old rivalry game for us, and looking at it on paper, it's something we have struggled with is our defense, which is their strong point with Ben Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell. And then you look on the other side, and their defense has struggled, you know, with a mishmash of players in and out and off the field, Ike Taylor being hurt, Shazier being hurt, and so on. And so Jarvis Jones being hurt, and something we have exceeded expectation with offensively. How do you foresee this football team winning a football game against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday?
I think you're going to have to get in a shootout with them. You know, I don't, and I think a lot of times you say, okay, it's a Browns Steelers, it's going to be 2017 or 17-14. I just don't see that happening. It's supposed to be a nice day Sunday. Like you mentioned, the reasons we should expect the offenses to do well, the injuries for the Browns, Phil Taylor, Joe Hayden. I mean, Big Ben always makes several plays. Le'Veon Bell, I can't tell you how impressed I was by him in the opener, and he's continued it. I think he lost some weight from last year to this year, looks quicker, runs with great patience, just kind of waits for that hole to open up and then explodes through it. So I don't think the Browns will have all those defensive problems fixed by Sunday, so I expect Pittsburgh to score, and I think the Browns are going to have to keep up, whether it's 24, 27, 30. That's what they're going to have to do, but I think they're capable of doing that. Kyle Shanahan, maybe he'll speed up the tempo from the beginning this time, not wait until the second half. I think the Browns can run on Pittsburgh. And, you know, Brian Hoyer is spreading that ball around and scoring points, and I don't see why that should change this week.
Loving the conversation with Scott Petrak, Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, covers the Browns. I know you are, too. This is, of course, at Browns_Daily, a mailbag Wednesday. Make sure you get your tweets to us at MattWilhelm57, at Michael Regai, at Browns_Daily. Hashtag it with mailbag. And next segment, we're going to get into as many as we can from you. Scott, on the defensive side of the football, though, you know, Mike Pettine is not a numbers guy per se. You guys just ask him about giving up 7 yards plus on first down. You know, there again was the run game becoming a problem from the opponent's offensive side. And yet it seems like that quarterbacks that are want to, you know, get out of the pocket a little bit more mobile, willing to pull the football down, they really seem to be giving this defense difficulty in that area. Is that as big of a problem this week? Roethlisberger is now to the point that he'd prefer to do most of his work out in the pocket. He'll step up, he'll slide, move side to side. But the Browns got to go to work, don't they, this week, Scotty, and start to clean up some of these issues defensively?
Well, yeah, there's no doubt about that. And getting Ben Roethlisberger down is the key. Now, I don't know if that means you have
From past experience, it's not easy. You hang on him. You just hang on him like a monkey until the rest of the clan comes jumping in.
I mean, I know. We've seen it before. I remember one play, Orpheus Roy drills him, and Orpheus Roy weighed about 330, and he drilled him in the chest. Ben took two steps back, planted, and threw the ball 60 yards down the field for the heartbreaking touchdown.
Remember it well.
So, you know, I mean, it's tough to bring him down, but that's the key. Locker has more, you know, elusiveness. He was able to get out and then make beat you on the ground.
Yeah.
But you're right about you have to keep him in the pocket. You have to bring that guy down, especially in today's NFL. If you miss that one chance on third down to get off the field, whether it's a third down penalty or a third down missed sack, it always comes back to bite you. So that's the key. If you can get Ben in third and 12, then you got to bring him down, because if you can let him stay on the field, it's going to turn into points.
Not only bring him down, Scott, but I think the one thing that the Steelers wide receivers do so well is they are accustomed to Ben extending the play so consistently that they understand the coverage. They find those voids in zones, or they find the overcommitment in man coverage and run that streak. We saw it in the first game, you know, with the touchdown over Joe Hayden to Antonio Brown. He just took off. And I think that's the hardest part, is not only do you have to contain Ben, you have to get him. It's a three-headed monster. You got to contain him, get him down, and then you got to plaster those receivers, because I think Ben, to me, is the best in the business at extending the play, and those wide receivers are so inept to get open and find those open zones and settle down, and Ben finds them like the best of them.
Well, that's exactly right. We were talking to Antonio Brown, the receiver, on a conference call today, and he got asked just that question, and he said, Ben doesn't die easy, and all you have to do is stay in his vision, because he'll find you. So that's the key for them, and they know exactly what they want to do when he gets outside of the pocket. They know where to go, and it's impossible for anybody, Joe Hayden, Buster Skrine, Richard Sherman, to run with the receiver for 5-6 seconds. It's just impossible. That's why you have to make Ben as uncomfortable as you can. And Ben does take sacks. I mean, that's the thing. He takes sacks, but when he's not getting sacked, he's making big plays.
Yeah, one quick thing for us, our Cleveland Browns, to look for is not only do we need to plaster our receiver, and when I say plaster, that means, you know, get on him like on flies like you know what and chase him all over the football field. But the one thing, especially with as much man coverage as we'll play, that is our eye discipline. And you hear Coach Petten talk about it. When the play extends, you naturally want to look back to see what Ben's doing or which way he's going, and what do? You lose touch with that wide receiver, which is when they pull away and they go vertical, right, or they get into that big open seam in the middle of the field. So that is those are the two things, plastering that wide receiver and eye discipline to keep your eyes on your work, which is your man.
Yeah, and that applies to free safety Tayshaun Gibson too, right?
Yeah,
he can't get sucked up.
Yeah.
If Antonio Brown turns and peels on Joe Hayden, he needs to know that he's going to get a little bit of help there from Tayshaun.
Yes.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Scott Petrak, Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, joining us. All right, it's ironic. We were talking about during the bye week, kind of had a feeling that the likes of Kaywan Williams, yep, Robert Nelson, Jordan Poyer, those in the secondary will go up front with Eric Martin on that outside edge, Armani Bryant. Scott, these guys seeming like they're getting more reps, they're getting opportunities, they're coming into play now. How good do you feel about these young men after what you saw on Sunday? Are they forcing Mike Petten and Jim O'Neill's hand to say, listen, we're deserving of playing time and we're going to deliver when we're on the football field for you?
I feel real good about Kaywan Williams, and I have since late in the preseason. You know, he started to show up, and you said, you know, I think this guy, this undrafted guy, is going to get a spot on this team. And then I've talked to him a couple times, real confident guy, looks about 12 years old,
yeah,
but really confident kid. And he's a slot guy. He can play in that slot, which is so important these days.
Yep.
And that's what we think Buster can do too, but Buster's proven he can play on the outside a little bit. I feel good about him. But at the same time, the reason he's on the field is because Gilbert struggled. The reason Eric Martin was on the field at the end is because Barkevious is struggling.
Right.
So, right, you know, you'd like to get those guys, and not only just because they were first-round picks, but because they're talented guys, you'd like to get them to be playing at their potential, because then the defense would be able to become closer to reaching its potential. But I feel good about Kaywan. And he's going to, you know, they're going to rely on him again this week. Whether or not Joe Hayden plays, Kaywan Williams is going to have a big role because the Steelers like to spread you out.
No doubt.
And they go a bunch of receivers.
Yep. And I think what I love as a Browns fan and analyst is the equal opportunity mentality of Coach Mike Petten. And we heard that today in his presser talking about, I don't care where you've been picked. Right. I don't care where you come from. I don't care how much we're paying you. If you're not performing at the level that I see fit, you will be watching from the sidelines, and we have that pipeline of players, and you mentioned them, Reg, Kaywan Williams and Nelson, and these guys who are ready to step up in your absence because you're not making plays and that are seizing an opportunity here with the Cleveland Browns.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think an interesting aspect is we talk about how he was patient with a guy like Christian Young, right, the long snapper.
Yeah.
He brought in competition, but he stuck with him. He said, I believe in you. But yet, and he gave a pat on the back to, you know, Travis Benjamin and said, keep your head up.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he yanked him. He yanked him from the punt return, but he said, we need you as a receiver, right? So there's a balance there. You yank a guy, but then you keep his head up. You stay with Christian Young, but yet when Mingo's struggling, you get him off the field in the second half. You do the same with Justin Gilbert.
And absolutely. I think this young football team's identity is slowly, you know, being determined
all
by
53.
What do these guys do best, and what do we need to wean
there
them
you
off
go.
Of?
There you go. And I keep an eye on Eric Martin. I really liked him as a, you know, of course, he was more of a Mike linebacker at Nebraska, played for Bo Pelini.
Yep.
But we started to see a little bit late. He was here all year last year. Scotty, this young fella, he's got a knack for getting to and putting heat on the quarterback. We saw it 3 to 4 times as he played in the fourth quarter off that left edge against Clipboard Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst, the other day.
Well, he's really strong. Here's what I know about Eric Martin. He's really strong. And Ray Farmer likes him enough that he missed a bunch of training camp and preseason with the concussion, and he kept him around.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you're doing your roster breakdown, it's like, man, I don't know if Eric Martin's going to make this team, but they kept him around.
Right.
Even though he wasn't available, they've seen enough in him, and he's not your prototypical outside linebacker. I mean, he's undersized.
Yeah.
He's not the tallest guy in the world.
He looks like a Mike.
Exactly.
He looks like a guy on the inside.
Right, but he's shown enough that he can get to the quarterback on the outside, And he's a funny dude to be around, too.
Yeah, well, you know, that they listen now, Nebraska pedigree, right, playing for both.
Yeah, it seems like everybody coming out of Nebraska can push that weight now.
Yes, they can. You know that. Big Ten fans. All right, before we let you go, Brian Hoyer, forget about the numbers, and they're glittering right now. This guy, though, has now he's 5-2 as a starter, right? Three of the five wins are fourth quarter comeback variety. So are we starting to see, do you believe that this is the type of quarterback that he is going to be going forward? There may be some glitch moments at times, sure, but when the football game's on the line, he is able to get the Cleveland Browns in the end zone to win.
Yeah, I do. I don't see any reason to believe that he's going to take a step back. I think he's only going to continue to get better the more he plays. And the main reason is because he's a smart guy. And he reads the defense as fast as anybody. He knows where to go with the ball. If you talk about decisions, I think he makes the right decision with the ball, I don't know, 95% of the time, which is what you need in your quarterback. And to me, when he's throwing the ball well, like we saw against that stretch against Baltimore, he's almost impossible to stop when he has that accuracy. Now, it comes and goes, and he missed Hawk in the end zone the other day on a second down. It wound up not hurting him.
Sure.
But he always seems to bounce back from that and make a big third down throw. Big out throws. I mean, these aren't easy throws. The deep out to Travis Benjamin when he's getting lit up by Cameron Wimbley on to start that drive in the end of the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That back shoulder to Miles Austin. The seam route to Jordan Cameron. These are professional throws. And that's how you win games in this league, is on third down in the fourth quarter, you make these throws. And he's shown to me over and over that he's that guy.
And one thing that I love about this Cleveland Browns team right now is the relationship that is being built and the trust that is being built between Kyle Shanahan and Brian Hoyer.
Mm.
You know, and mind you, yes, he has to fit some tight windows, and you know, and he's, and I think he forced a few balls this week to Jordan Cameron trying to feed his big tight end, but he's throwing to open wide receivers, you know, and these guys are catching the football. And what does that mean? How do you throw to open receivers consistently? Is that scheme and that play call and knowing exactly what to expect out of the defense coverage wise on that back end. Kudos to Kyle Shanahan and Brian Hoyer thus far.
I completely agree with the Kyle Shanahan love. I mean, I've been saying it since week one. We're talking about a receiving core that doesn't have any studs. And these guys are getting open. You can say the same thing about their tight ends outside of Jordan Cameron. He's able to get these guys open, and it starts with that play action ability to run the ball. I'm so looking forward to seeing what he could do with the Josh Gordon back in the fold, because then I think guys will be open everywhere.
And this offensive line has kept him clean as well.
A plus.
Clean. A remarkable job to allow Hoyer to continue to make those decisions and be decisive from the pocket where he lives best. Scotty, going to have to leave it right here. Always appreciate your insights, and we'll look forward to doing it again next week.
Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, brother.
All right, Scott Petrak. Make sure you check him out on Twitter, at Scott Petrak, Elyria Chronicle Telegram. He does it as well as anybody around the National Football League. All right, it's Mailbag, hashtag Mailbag Wednesday. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's go. Matt and I have got all kinds of opportunity for you to get your tweets put out there for everybody to understand and digest. That's next when we get back. Reg Eye, Wilhelm, and you. Cleveland Browns Daily, we're driven by Liberty Ford. Don't go.